as we sign our names to the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, the longest sought, hardest fought prize in arms control history. Let us summon the confidence of earlier pioneers and set our sights on the challenges of the new century. Over the past 3 years, we have moved in the right direction in meeting those challenges. In Bosnia, where the war is over and just 10 days ago its people went to the polls in peace, we have moved in the right direction. Now we must help Bosnia build a unified, democratic, and peaceful future. In Haiti, where the dictators are gone, democracy is back, and the exodus of refugees has ended, we have moved in the right direction. Now we must help the Haitian people seize the full benefits of freedom and forge a more prosperous future. In the Middle East and in Northern Ireland, there is progress toward lasting peace, and we are moving in the right direction. Now we must support continued progress between Israel and Palestinians, and we must broaden the circle of peace to include more of Israel's neighbors. We must help to give the children of Belfast the chance to live out normal lives. In the fact that democracy, open markets, and peace are taking hold around the world, we are moving in the right direction. Here in the Americas, every nation but one has raised freedom's flag. In Central Europe, in Russia, Ukraine, the other new independent states, the forces of reform have earned all our respect and will continue to have the support of the United States. Now we must begin to welcome Europe's new democracies into NATO, strengthen NATO's partnership with Russia, and build a secure and undivided Europe. In Asia, South Korea, Japan, China, and America, working together, persuaded North Korea to freeze its nuclear program under international monitoring. Now, in the wake of provocative actions by North Korea, we must pursue a permanent peace for all the Korean people. Our planet is safer because of our common efforts to close Chernobyl, to address the challenges of climate change, to protect the world's forests and oceans. Now we must uphold our duty as custodians of our environment so that our children will inherit an even healthier planet. All of us must continue our historic efforts to build a better, more global trading system for the 21st century. We have made remarkable progress, but there is more to do in opening markets and creating millions of new jobs for all our people. In this time of challenge and change, the United Nations is more important than ever before because our world is more interdependent than ever before. Most Americans know this. Unfortunately, some Americans, in their longing to be free of the world's problems, and perhaps to focus more on our own problems, ignore what the United Nations has done. Ignore the benefits of cooperation. Ignore our own interdependence with all of you in charting a better future. They ignore all the United Nations is doing to lift the lives of millions by preserving the peace, vaccinating children, caring for refugees, sharing the blessings of progress around the world. They have made it difficult for the United States to meet its obligations to the United Nations. But let me reassure all of you, the vast majority of Americans support the United Nations, not only because it reflects our own ideals, but because it reinforces our interests. We must continue to work to manifest the support that our people feel. For the 51st year in a row, the United States will be the largest financial contributor to the UN. We are paying our dues, and I am committed to paying off our accumulated obligations. However, we also support the process of reform, which has done great work in reforming and streamlining the bureaucracy and reining in the budget, and it should continue. We also believe that all of us, the nations of the world working together, must do more to fight terrorism. Last year, I asked the nations assembled here to commit to a goal of zero tolerance for aggression, terrorism, and lawless behavior. Frankly, we have not done that yet. Real zero tolerance means giving no aid and no quarter to terrorists who slaughter the innocent and drug traffickers who poison our children, and to do everything we can to prevent weapons of mass destruction from falling into the wrong hands. Real zero tolerance requires us to isolate states that refuse to play by the rules we have all accepted for civilized behavior. As long as Iraq threatens its neighbors and people, as long as Iran supports and protects terrorists, as long as Libya refuses to give up the people who blew up Pan Am 103, they should not become full members of the family of nations. The United States is pursuing a three-part strategy against terrorists: abroad, by working more closely than ever with like-minded nations; at home, by giving our law enforcement the toughest counterterrorism tools available; and by doing all we can to make our airports and the airplanes that link us all together even safer. I have requested more than $1 billion from our Congress to meet these commitments, and we are implementing the Vice President's Aviation Security Plan to make those traveling to, from, and within the United States more secure. There are other steps we must take together. Last year, I urged that together we crack down on money laundering and front companies, shut down gray markets for guns, explosives, and false documents, open more law enforcement centers around the world, strengthen safeguards on lethal materials. In each of these areas, we have made progress through the UN, at the Summit of Peacemakers in Sharm el-Sheikh, at the Paris Terrorism Conference, and individually. Now we should adopt the Declaration on Crime and Public Security I proposed last year. It includes a no sanctuary pledge so that we can say with one voice to the terrorists, criminals, and drug traffickers, you have no place to run, no place to hide. I call on every member to ratify 11 international conventions that would help prevent and punish terrorism and to criminalize the use of explosives in terrorist attacks. To every nation whose children fall prey to drugs, and every nation that makes those drugs, we must do more to reduce demand and to take illegal drugs off the markets and off the streets. The United States will do its part. Next week, I will target more than $100 million worth of defense equipment, services, and training to Mexico, Colombia, and other South American and Caribbean countries. These resources will help our friends stop the flow of drugs at the source. Now I ask every nation that exports the chemicals needed to make illicit drugs to create an informal group whose members will work to deny these chemicals to drug producers. We must not let more drugs darken the dawn of the next century. Our duty to fight all these forces of destruction is directly linked to our efforts to reduce the threat of weapons of mass destruction. We all know we are not immune from this. We saw it when our friends in Japan were subject to the murderous power of a small vial of sarin gas unleashed in a Tokyo subway. We know a small lump of plutonium is enough to build a nuclear bomb. We know that more dangerous people have access to materials of mass destruction because of the rapid movement and open borders of this age. The quest to eliminate these problems from the world's arsenals and to stop them from spreading has taken on a new and powerful urgency for all of us. So let us strengthen our determination to fight the rogue states, the terrorists, the criminals who menace our safety, our way of life, and the potential of our children in the 21st century. Let us recommit ourselves to prevent them from acquiring weapons of mass destruction. Let us work harder than ever to lift the nuclear backdrop that has darkened the world stage for too long now. Let us make these solemn tasks our common obligation, our common commitment. If we do, then together we will enter the 21st century, marching toward a better, safer world, the very better, safer world the United Nations has sought to build for 51 years. Thank you very much.